next speaker, who is Jun Po. She is a PhD candidate in the Department of Natural Resources Sciences at McGill University, and she's going to be talking about gender dimensions and access to land resources, and also the impact then of children who are associated with these women. So I'd like to introduce Jun to the podium, please.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me clearly? Okay. Do kids eat better when moms have more say on the farm? More specifically, how does women's access to land resources relate to long-term food security and better nutrition for children? There is more and more work on food security in the agricultural domain that focus on not only increasing crop yields, soil management, and increasing caloric intake, but also on nutritional security from the public health sector. From nutrition-specific agriculture and increasing dietary diversity. Economic research also contributed greatly to food security from understanding farmers' cooperative to better access to markets and credit, and through cost-effective school-based deworming efforts to reduce malnutrition in school age and preschool children, increased literacy, especially for women, a gendered focus on education, and increase women's economic independence have been promoted as an important determinant of health, as we have heard today and yesterday from President Nwosi. Economic studies have shown that intra-household decision-making and negotiation can be a rebalancing of household power dynamics that may have potential in strengthening rural livelihood capitals. So evidence in Nepal and in India also found that mothers who own land formerly have less likely have children who are severely malnourished. But there are little empirical evidence that explore the relationships of land resource access informally by women and their children's nutritional outcomes. And women's informal access to land resource is very relevant in many cultural contexts where women don't have formal rights and entitlement to land. So my research aims to explore the relationships between childhood nutrition and women's access to land resources via decision-making in the household and their dependence on rural livelihood capitals in the context of arid and semi-arid regions of Kenya. Within this social ecological system, we have heard a lot today about the stresses on land, soil, and water for farming, and the statistics of severe malnutrition in children in these regions. Women as smallholder farmers face even more limitations to navigate with lower access to capital, market, credit information, making them even more food insecure, especially during dry seasons and in marginalized groups such as women-led households. In 2010, Kenya's constitution promoted women's rights to inherit land as a part of an international effort to land reforms that promote women's right to land tenure. And within this context, my research asks two questions. How do women smallholder farmers' access to land resources and social resources relate to childhood nutritional growth? What do I mean by access? Beyond formally owning land as properties, access also includes the power to make decisions on how to use, manage, and benefit from land resources. In my research, we measure mothers' participation in decision-making on the farm by asking them questions on seven common farm decisions, such as buying seeds, when to start tilling land, weeding, or whether to plant trees and dig terraces in the farms. And who in the last season made these decisions? Solely, jointly, with other household members, such as the mother's, the wife's husband, or as we mentioned earlier, the mother-in-laws. So I surveyed these questions in two counties in the semi-arid region of Kenya. And for today's presentation, I'll present some of my quantitative results. We found that of the women who are primarily working as farmers, 69% of them reported having low participation in making farm decisions. And to test whether mothers making decisions on the farm makes a difference in their children's nutrition, we look at statistics, we look at status such as childhood stunting and wasting. Here we find robust results where we find that children do grow better when mothers participate more on making decisions on the farm. In this regression, we see when women from the control group have the highest level of education, which in this case is above primary grade 8 primary school, their children have a predicted likelihood of 18% of wasting if they are making less decisions on the farm or participating less in making farm decisions. Whereas this dramatically reduces to 3% when mothers reported having higher participation in making farm decisions. Mothers making more decisions on the farm could mean that they opt for more diverse range of staple and vegetable crops or planting fruit trees. Instead of maximizing areas for cash crops such as cotton, sugar cane, coffee, or tea, or it could mean that they are allocating grains for storage, consumption, or sale, which directly impacts their children's food intake. So this suggests that mothers' education is necessary and very important, but not sufficient in helping children grow better. It may depend on when mothers can gain agency within the household and participate more in making farms, making decisions on farms and within the farms and household. So what contribute to mothers making more decisions on the farm besides perhaps new technologies? We look into the area of social capital as one of their rural livelihood resources. In the literature, it may be described as the enduring connections within families, neighbors, and within their networks, and reciprocity and social norms in the community that exists among social actors. It's often categorized into bonding, bridging, and linking social capital, which I use proxy indicators such as whether the mother contributed money in their neighbor's fundraisers, whether they attended public meetings and voted in national elections respectively. So we find that women who have higher participation level in making farm decisions do have higher social capital, indicated in the red. And whether that impacts their children's nutritional outcomes, we find that children grow better when mothers attend public community meetings. So not all types of social capital may benefit childhood nutritional growth. And we find that bridging social capital has a dramatic reduction in their childhood wasting and stunting. This may be through gaining knowledge from a chief's meeting, where there might be an enrollment into an NGO program, or there is an announcement they heard for future public health days that are coming, which help the mother gain better training for better farming technologies, or access health services, which would help them and their children. These findings also suggest that there is a need for a more nuanced strategy to promote women's bridging social capital through reduction of isolation within the homes and encouraging women to engage more within the communities. This is also supported by the literature that says that there's an importance in bridging social capital in community-driven initiatives. So from a gender's perspective, we might, from this finding, see that benefits in household food and nutritional security may depend on whether women and men can gain agency and participate jointly in making decisions in their farms, in the household, and building connections within their communities. But these also these results also illustrates the importance of embedded systems thinking, where a mother's education is very important at the individual level. But we need to consider also the customary norms and the local institutions, whether they have household agency in their setting, and which has a larger effect on their behavior and food choices, and whether they can build community bonds that can galvanize quite a lot of farmer-led initiatives working together with other stakeholders, extension officers, scientists, and policymakers. Thank you.